Welcome to A Course in Miracles. You know, we're working on this section called The Responsibility for Sight. And I'll remind you that this section is asking you to do basically the metaphysical movement of A Course in Miracles, which is not and no longer seeking outside of your mind, but having the trust to find what you seek in your own mind. And you say, you know, a lot of times you might say, no, you don't want to go in my mind. This is where the trouble is. I can't go in my mind. I need something to help me. I need something to guide me out of my problematic mind, you say. Very reasonable. And of course, all of us have been there, especially when it really hurts.
There was a character named Ram Dass who was famous for Be Here Now, but maybe his runner-up quote was, if anybody, any of us, thought that others could see us as we truly are in our interior, they would go running and screaming in disillusionment and dismay, and we would agree with them and have to rush off and commit suicide by the fastest means possible to escape the shame of having been discovered.
Yes, and Woody Allen said, I would never attend a club that would allow me as a member.
M or W.C. Fields.
Sure. Oh, W.C. Fields.
Yeah, that's it.
So, but you know, all of us here have tried probably a lot of ways of seeking and teachers and books and methods and meditations and ways so that we could find the key solution. You see, you just drink some of Andrew's green liquid. This will cure your mind. No. Nothing will come from outside you, it turns out. But on the other hand, if you just look at your own life, just look at the happiest moments you have ever had, and you will discover that in that time, you were affording peace for yourself. Nothing actually came and switched on your happiness. You chose to put down your defenses. You chose to be or allow romance to be. You chose trust to be or allow to be. You chose a rare moment of honesty, and it worked out for you really well. These instances of patience and trust and honesty that and happiness and love and joy that were the best moments of your life were because you were not either defending, worrying, or attacking. You were actually free for a few moments, and it's not because something outside promised and proved enough and came in and switched something. No, you chose to afford it. So that's the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles, is that vein, that line of going inward. Now, this is really, really good news. And this is really, really bad news, isn't it? Of course, it's bad news if you want that magic pill or phrase or lightning bolt that if you go stand in the right place long enough and hold your right arm up, boom. You can get those kind of experiences, and haven't you had them? Haven't you gone to see a certain teacher or had a certain drug or been around a certain person or and somehow or a great movie even or great music? And, oh, you were just elevated. But it's a drug, isn't it? They're all drugs because they came from the outside. A Course in Miracles calls those magic. Anything that affects something else, anything that affects you especially from the outside is called magic. So this metaphysical journey we're taking through this whole section is the awakening to the power that is within your mind. And it's there right now. And it was there yesterday. And it was there during your very best moments of your life. And it was waiting for you quietly at your very worst moments of your life. The same inner power. Sometimes we'll go around the room and we'll ask people, you know, what is A Course in Miracles? What is it? What is you? And we won't do that tonight, but one of the answers that came up was self-empowerment, said this one course student who'd been studying for about 15 years. He says, it's really self-empowerment. He says the ego in the world has slowly chewed away at him and disempowered himself and made him feel weak and made him feel a victim and made him wish for something completely different than himself. In a dark moment, somebody pushed A Course in Miracles over to him, said, come on, try this. The light began to come back on and he had never put it down. And he found that this gave him permission to find himself where he could be used. That's in his own mind. And so I say it's the bad news. Nobody's going to come save you. The good news, you actually don't need saving. And if you really thought you did, it would be you who decided to save yourself. Because of what you actually are, you have everything you need in you. You do not access it constantly in this world of time and space, because that's not what's called for here. The world of time and space calls for things of separation. That's what you've been busy doing your whole life, and there's no problem with that. In fact, it's kind of fun. As long as you can do it without fear, it's fun. The problem is you've been taking your life a little too seriously. You've done this because you have very, very carefully and slowly become infected with a misidentity with things outside of you. And that includes your own body. You've been very successful at this adventure. You've just been too successful dreaming yourself into a separate identity. It's not a sin. And like I say, it's a blast. And you know that's a blast. The times when you've been able to be not fearful to allow somebody to love you, to allow yourself to love somebody else, to allow the defenses to completely disappear and just have fun and trust. Those moments, you know what I'm talking about. Or the times when you've been even at work, when you're working with somebody in the same direction, you're both decide to stay late because you like what you're doing and it's going to be great. Those moments of joining are a blast. And they're creative, by the way. The times when you helped somebody learn something, or your child to read or to walk or to put something together or to bake or to sew or to who knows what. These are wonderful moments. They get it on their own and then they come back the next day and show you, hey, here's how you really do it. Oh man, you did something. It's so fun. What's not fun is you taking it so seriously that you've decided that the thing you see in the mirror is all of you. That's the only problem. You've decided that the most important parts of you, ego would say all of you, is encased in your head or your body. And maybe if you really, really have a great love in your children or your family or your, maybe some things you've actually chosen to include in your circle. this is the real problem. Otherwise, there's no problem here. This is all a fantastic, creative exploration of power. A Course in Miracles is here to correct your identity mistake. Okay, so we're going to spend a couple of minutes just to land, and we're going to just do very simple meditation, and then we're going to jump into the material. We've changed the format. As you know, we're not going to go round robin every single square anymore. And I think tonight, well, we'll see. But anybody can, I'll ask for people if you want to say something after a simple meditation, if you wish, and we'll do that each time. Okay. What I'd like you to think about the next 5 or 7 minutes, all I would like you to think about is be willing to make room in your mind for something beyond, or something that would be holding you, the real you. Something that you, as you see, the one you see in the mirror, the one with a social security number, the one with a bank account, does not know about, cannot know about. Your whole existence as a separate individual has been to block your awareness of the love that we're going to be asking to guide us in A Course in Miracles. So for the next 5 or 7 minutes, I would like you just to make room in your mind. Make room in your mind for the Holy Spirit. And knowing that what you're going to ask to step aside is the ego spirit, also known as the unholy spirit. But just let that step aside just for a few minutes. I'm going to ask you in your mind now to take a little walk inside your mind, a little visualization to help sometimes to just shed away all of the artifice. We'll do a little dream inside of a dream. You take a little walk inside your mind. Whatever that might look like, see a door. You're not at the door yet. You've just identified it. Walk now from all your familiar workings and take your hands off the controls and all the things you know about, and walk over to that door. This is a door in your own mind, in your own kingdom. You recognize that this does not go outside. This is a door that is still familiarly in your mind. Open that door. As the door starts to open, before you can even recognize and see through it, a light starts shining through. What is that light? As soon as you see this light, you feel so invited, so welcomed. It seems to be calling you. A little willingness. Anybody want to comment before we jump in? Just to make room. What do you got, Tim?
In order for me to want to attempt this difficult, easy yet most difficult of exercises, I need to have a good reason. I want to know why. That's my whole life. Why does this happen? Cause and effect. Why do, you know, atoms split into the other thing? What and how does that apply to, you know, that same sort of thinking pattern applied to Course in Miracles? And then I imagine heaven and all of that realm in one circle and what we experience as egos in another, and just barely do those two universes overlap. And that overlap is the Holy Spirit and the choice for the Holy Spirit from the part of the mind that's present to be a decision maker, to watch and make a decision. So those were the thoughts that ran through my mind.
You know, there's a show called The Truman Show. Everybody seen that one?
Jim Carrey.
And what I love about that show is that you remember he's raised inside of a big Hollywood set, some huge set. And every time he ventures close to the edge of the set, they turn on the hurricane machines and the waves and the wind that turns, pushes him back toward his house. And he stays there and he says, wow, that's rough weather. I guess I can't go onto the ocean. One day he ventures really hard and he says, well, no matter what. And he goes and goes and goes and goes. He's through the huge ocean. It looks like he could die. There's lightning and wind and the boat's falling apart. And he bumps the boat right into the edge of the big dome, which is the set in which he has been living. And they've been filming and putting on TV and intersplicing with commercials his entire life. And he is not free. It's an artificial world. I really like that image because it's just such a quick reset that happens. That reset has happened to me. And in the words of the Course in Miracles, using what Tim described, Tim, I would say that, yes, there's two universes. However, the one that I can see, touch, and feel is completely inside the larger one. There are not two bumps that even overlap. One is held by the other completely on all sides. There is no way you could even pretend to escape.
I like that because heaven is at war with no one or nothing ever.
Yes.
And there is no power that would contest that. There's something greater than God, and God has to put on his muscle tee and, you know, lift some weights and get ready to conquer this particular non-reality. No. God doesn't have to do that because no such thing exists.
And what's more, the non-reality is all of the power and the creativity. Let me just shortcut that and sum it all up to mind. All of the mind that is used to dream the illusion of separation, that comes from the one power. There is not another power, like you were saying, Tim, that would have to fight with the truth. Nope. And there's no hurry either.
Right, because we're outside of time.
We made up time to be in a hurry in.
That's right.
So our playground of being in a separate body in time and space and mind is held within the bigger, loving, empowered heaven.
One of the challenges is you're not likely to go looking for something you don't think even exists. So if you're convinced your hell realm truly is all that there is, and I've got to say that's 99.9% of us on this globe, then it's never even going to occur to you to look for something better or different or a relief from that pain and suffering and glumness and depression.
If you did, you would be insane.
Oh, so
look for something that you don't know, you don't believe exists. That would be insane.
So from the ego's point of view, am I looking for the holy instant in Course in Miracles? That's a form of insanity.
It is. The ego says you're fooling yourself.
That's self-delusion, right? Ego would teach me.
You bet. Okay, Sundari, you've been very patient and very, very well behaved.
Sorry, Sundari.
For a change. That was really beautiful for me. And it was first I had this door going out, but then very quickly it switched to a door going in.
Oh.
And so the door was going to open into me rather than out of me. And then I go in, and I've had for a long time this picture of this kind of ruby amethyst cavern of my heart, a cave, like this huge cave. There's a lot of room in my cave. And there's a chair, like an altar. You know, sometimes I can sit on it, like right in the throne of my heart, sort of. But, and all of a sudden, the door became a door into that. And I mean, this was like way cool. And beautiful. And I start opening the door before you ever talked about the light, streaming light. And I just went in into this realm of just luminescence. And it was really sweet because the whole first part of the talk, I focused on what for me was, I think, the most peaceful moment of my life. And it was interesting because I just got an email from this hotel I was at where I experienced this, you know, and you could have 6 days in Honolulu and 5 nights for $630 if you listen to a timeshare. And I've been looking all over for somebody to come with me to that place. But the moment was I was with the perfect person in the water bobbing, but that's not what mattered. It was the moment of perfect peace because I was where I wanted to be with who I wanted to be, although this part of it didn't matter. It was my doorway in, just bobbing in the water and on this building. This Hilton had two rainbows, and I look up at the sky and there's two rainbows matching it. And somehow the fact that none of my mind had any longing to be anywhere else, any place else, thinking about anybody else, doing anything else, it was like, apart from the facts of the situation, and that actually the relationship kind of exploded right later that day, but it didn't matter because that peace was extraordinary. And just for the first instant of my life, I felt what it was to allow myself to be who I was, where I was, doing what I was, with none of my energy anywhere else.
I'm so glad you're able to keep that without letting your ego extinguish it. Keep it as genuine, because it was absolutely genuine. This was you affording yourself to be happy and joyous and free. That was you. You are wonderful, it turns out. Good, Sundari. That's beautiful. Thank you for that. I'm so glad you decided to keep that. And the Course in Miracles will support that that indeed is you, and that is your ability to be love. And that's what it feels like. And the Course says also that even that experience, I forget what page, but you remember this, you read through it, that it says that something relatively the best experience you've ever had in a body, that the joy of heaven is 1,000 times 1,000 that. And so you just got a glimpse of the ability to free yourself and to enter into this loving experience, all of which has been limited so that we can have this convenient separation experience.
You know, Andrew, there's one more part to it, which is I was just a while ago with David Hoffmeister seeing a movie, spiritual, what's it called? Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment, and he comments spiritually on movies. Looking at Dark City, and the same thing happened to me there where I was keyed into my darkest childhood moment, like the what I consider my ego formation moment. Mm-hmm. And right in my mind, just the way with this heart, mm-hmm. that picture shattered into 1,000 little pieces of glass, and it opened up. into something that was very close to what I was just describing, except it had ocean too. And a moment later in the movie, the same thing happened on the screen. Mm-hmm. And it was like that with you, like the moment after I saw this light, you evaporated. Mm-hmm. It was very
nice. This is your world and this is your way out. So off you go. To freedom you go. Just because Sundari said some of the key words, let's go look at one of my favorite sections, that couple paragraphs. Please do, Barbara.
I would have raised my hand like Sundari did, but I can't find that hand.
You can always just speak out. That's no problem.
Okay, so I'm bringing this up because 23 years ago, I had a 15-year-old, and I had the literal experience. And so my question is, you are talking about it coming from your mind, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that I had a literal experience of meeting that door, except it wasn't a door. I had a 15-year-old who I unfortunately, along with my husband, had to place in a drug treatment program in Oakland called Thunder Road. And we were told that for youth programs, he just turned 15 in July. This was in August. They could not lock the doors because it was a youth program in California, and that so there was always the risk of kids running. So it was the day before I was starting my first day of school. I was a first grade teacher, and I received a call saying that he had run and he was missing for the next 10 months. So I don't know when in the 10 months this experience was, but I had another son, a year younger than him, and I was trying to keep him in school, keep my shit together, go to school every day and teach. That first day was pretty hard, but I knew in my gut that it was not going to be a short experience. It was one of those knowing times when I knew it wasn't going to be a short experience. So sometime in that 10 months when I was teaching and had Miguel at home with me, I was, of course, in deep despair. I was able to teach during the day, but the minute I got off, I got into deep despair. So one morning before school, I went out into the backyard. I was separated from my husband. So Miguel and I were living alone in freedom. And I went out onto the patio.
Freedom is a town in California.
Yeah, it's right north of Watsonville. I was drinking my coffee and probably smoking cigarettes. And all of a sudden, there was just light. It wasn't internal light. It was external light. And it was loving light. And there was no voice. There was no nothing like that. There was just this sense that everything was going to be okay. And I was not a religious person. I was a seeking person, but I didn't believe in God. I was seeking my spiritual center in a haphazard way, as I discussed before, on again, off again. And it was then that I knew that there's God. I mean, I knew it immediately. I knew it immediately.
You were lifted.
Huh?
You were lifted.
I was embraced. And I had a deep sense that everything was going to be okay. And that didn't last. You know, I mean, I went in and out of despair.
Yes, but the experience of it has never gone away.
No, not to this day.
Nobody could tell you it was not real.
Right. And I do believe it had something to do with my seeking mind. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely an external, you know, the world had a different quality of light.
Do you remember, I think you were here when I did this meditation where I asked everybody to find out if they thought that there was something that held everything that you know. Or are you holding it? Do you remember that meditation? It's an important meditation to try to get a perspective on what's really going on, is to find out whether you are willing to believe that there is something outside of, you know, quote, outside of you that holds everything you know. Because when we say you go into your mind, you're not going into your brain. We say inward because when we say outward, it's a separation term.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to use the word inward. But eventually you recognize that you're not actually going into your body. Since A Course in Miracles says your body is a figment in the dream. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be in. So you recognize that all the things that you see need to be reconciled with what we call the Christ mind. So that when you go inward, it includes everything that you see. That's the world you've been imagining. Not only the thing in the mirror, but the mirror too.
Right.
So when you say you saw a light and it was outside of you, you just simply, the light came from a larger context than Barbara enjoying a cigarette.
Right. And I had two other experiences of that too. And they were both while I was driving. One, I was on the freeway going into Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. And one, I was driving further south.
Well, listen, I want to take this moment to say that you can have many light experiences. Let's call them all light experiences. And I've heard a lot of them. There's a lesson 15 actually calls them out by name, because there was somebody in Helen Schuckman's life that was having light experiences. Jesus just took time to mention for her, it's not for general consumption. And they argued about cutting it out of the book, actually, when Ken found out that it was really for one of her friends. But note taken, I hope. Because the next sentence, Jesus says, as nice as this is, it's a perception and it will not remain.
No. Absolutely, that's true. But I mean, it was one of them I had to pull off the road, because in this terrible period when my son was missing, never heard one word from him, I was filled with joy.
Yeah.
And so much joy that I couldn't contain it and had to pull off the road. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm just saying, I'm grateful for your description, because, you know, when you were talking about it, it's, you know, in your mind that what you just went through is a clarification of that. So
yes, yes. Another word for that is angels. You had angel visitation. These are just words, right? You don't have to have angels with wings and out of some storybook. No. It's the experience we're talking about. So we have to use words. And
right.
One of them that's really handy is when you get that type of miracle, the type of shift in perception about your life that was so dark with your son missing, and suddenly it's not.
Right.
These happen. Now, they happen the other way too. But, okay? You can completely let down all of your self-compassion and hope. You can do that too.
Yes.
And then you can fall into what it calls descent into hell.
Yes.
You could use the same mind, really the same power. And that's what we want to look at tonight, is how do you access this inward choice, this inward power to have the light come into your otherwise darkness. How do you do that? What happens? Is there a way to practically turn off your ego, in other words, and enjoy a moment of lightness of being? Can you just do that?
No.
I'm so glad you said how, because when Timothy was saying why, I was thinking it's not why, it's how for me. Because I did what you were doing, and nothing came of it, but at all. I couldn't do it at all. And it reminded me of the time where one of the lessons said, send love to somebody that you have not liked on some level.
Yeah.
So I was sending, I was so-called sending it. And I finally said, I can't do this. And I gave it up and said, something stronger than this is going to have to do it for me. And I just went completely blank, and I saw nothing but light with my eyes closed doing it. And the next thing I know, I was surrounded, and love was filling me from every direction.
Beautiful. There you
and
go.
That's when I realized as soon as I think I have to do this, I'm in control, I'm in trouble.
Nice, Luann. Well said. There's even a lesson title, 155, that says, I will step back and let him lead the way. And there's a section in the text that says the way to listen to the Holy Spirit is you recognize that you don't actually know what this situation that you're dealing with is for. You don't actually know. You don't actually get it. You don't really understand everything involved. So you will not use your own past learning, all of which is a trail of tears and trials and efforts of where you didn't know either. You were guessing then and you're guessing now. The Course says, admit it. You are not a good teacher for yourself. And the moment you put down yourself as the guide, as Luann did, she gave up. She said, no, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing instead. Boom. That openness is what allows the Holy Spirit, it's been there the whole time, to say, welcome to the present. This is your own self-empowerment. You see, in A Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit is not some entity outside of you. It is a part of your mind that is still connected to the truth. It's a part of your mind that is still connected to the truth and forever will be and must be because of what you are in reality. That means you always have access to this door. When you touch the handle, the light comes beaming through. You got to pull your car over because your lightness of being is so high that you shouldn't be driving. I've had these situations and the tears just start coming down and it's like, it won't fit in my body. I just have to hold on to something and breathe and just bliss out for a few seconds. It's the same kind of power that happens when you start laughing so hard that you're laughing out loud and you're just glad you weren't holding your coffee at the moment because you would have spilled it. You know what I mean? You're just, it doesn't fit in your body. This is an idea of the kind of energy that you have sequestered in order to slow energy down and be a body and be in a world.
I was so happy, so very happy that because I've never had that feeling before.
It's a glimpse of what you can afford for yourself when you're willing to go to right-mindedness, when you're willing. Lisa? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. No?
Don has his hand up.
Boy, if we were in an auction, Lisa, you would have bought that boat. Man, watch yourself. Okay, Don, what do you got?
I just want to show, I have had similar experiences to Barbara, and they do seem provided by grace. Those experiences don't seem to arise in any huge way by calculation or by consciously practicing something to invite that experience. They just seem to be, you know, like a sudden rainstorm, if you will, that you don't.
Like an angel visitation, a little gift from beyond.
Yeah. You did answer my question. I was going to ask, is the Holy Spirit outside of or in my mind? And I heard you say that just a moment ago. It's part of my mind that is still in touch with the truth. And yet can also, you didn't say this, but the teaching says to me that it also can see my delusion or my ego.
Very good, Don.
It goes both ways. So that's really cool.
Very good, Don. The Course describes the Holy Spirit is fully aware of your delusions, but does not believe in them. You are also fully aware of your delusions, but you do believe in them.
So a question is, I do, but a question, you referenced the text. You talked about lesson 155, and then you said there's a place in the text that says, you know, put down yourself as the guide. Can you tell me what that, can you reference that at some point?
Yes, that's page 298.
298, okay.
Paragraph
and then
six.
I just want to share a very short vignette that really, I had started the Course in Miracles before, but I was being Mr. Mom, and I was a soccer coach for my son, who was at that time maybe 5 years old or so. And he had a very best friend who was on an opposing team. And if you've ever been around soccer at that age, the kids, and we call it bunch ball. Everybody just bunches around the ball and kicks it back and forth amongst them. But at some point, my son, Chris, and his friend, Ross, were in front of Ross's goal. And all of a sudden, somebody on Ross's team, that is to say, they were in front of Chris's goal, somebody on Ross's team scored a goal against Chris's team. And Ross and Chris happened to be facing each other right in front of the goal. And they noticed, and they jumped up in the air and gave each other a high five. It was like, gave me chills. It was like so cool that for them, it wasn't about who scored. It was just about celebrating a success.
Great play.
What a nice teaching from a kid who loved this other friend. They loved each other. It was beautiful.
Nice. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Well, I just realized, I mean, Holy Spirit's our mind, part of our mind, in our mind. So, of course, we know all about this illusion, right? Because we made it. Now, I know there's a deeper level because, like you said, we give it over to that aspect of our mind because we can't see everything about it. So we have some limitation as an ego in separation, but it's still us. I mean, we made it. So, of course, we know all about it at some level, just as we know that we're one with God.
You go one step further.
Okay, what's that?
Not only do we know all about it, but Jacqueline, you have to admit that you love it.
Yeah, I can. I told you, when I was experiencing what it's like to be, I was doing both, being meditating on being one with God and meditating on this life. There's some ecstasy in this life. I started feeling some ecstasy that I hadn't felt a long time.
Beautiful.
Just walking around in life, I thought, oh, yeah, this is kind of cool here, because I'm older and I've gotten kind of dull about it.
And so then take that ecstasy and hold it as a glimpse of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then when something negative happens, say, well, it must still apply here.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, then I had pain the next day. I thought, oh, yeah, well, here's this too.
Excellent. Excellent.
Experience all of it. But, I kept... The Holy Spirit know all about this? Well, of course, it's in our mind.
Yes, beautiful. That's right. It is all held. Every bit of it is all held in our mind. using the exact same power that the most loving thought you ever had uses.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's your way out. That is a freedom thought. That is a vector to awakening, to eternal joy and freedom. And then also a way to afford enjoying the dream as you continue to, if you continue to be here, you can now afford to enjoy it because you've stepped out of victimhood. You no longer can there be a devil. It's a really big deal what you're talking about. Go all the way. Keep it up. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, Barbara.
I just remember one evening not too long ago, you referred to the Holy Spirit as the healed part of our minds. And that has, I think about that all the time. That's just a really handy reference that there is a part of our minds that's healed, and then there's this ego, you know, that is very domineering and shoves the healed part of our minds out of the way. But that there is that healed part of the universal mind. I mean, there's only one mind here, and that's our access to it. But, you know, it is within us.
That's right. It is within us. And it holds that power that holds the Holy Spirit, that power that holds the truth, is also holding the illusion. That means if you're willing to go down the road of one mind and one power, that means that if you can still think, if you have thoughts, then you have all the controls you need to follow that power back to its source, back to all the decisions it ever made. That means you're still connected. It's really good news. Okay, now since Sundari mentioned this, she used a couple of keywords, someplace I wanted to go tonight to help support this paragraph we want to read. I want to have you take a look at this. And what we do is we'll read our paragraph first, then we'll come back to this section that picked up several of the words that Sundari used. And so go to page 449, paragraph 7 in the text, chapter 21, section 2, paragraph 7. Always, always we're working on understanding what is a miracle now. What's a miracle to me now? And each time you go through this book, the miracle will have an increasing, you'll have an increasing understanding of what a miracle is and how it applies. You know, at the first step, the miracle is to change out of pain, and that's good enough. The miracle is a shift out of pain and victimhood, and that's good enough. And the next time you come around, you say, wow, it actually did a lot more than that, says Barbara, who practically crashed her car after a visitation of joy. You know, somehow there's more. I could have a shift in perception that can bathe me in light, the lightness of being, as Sundari also described. And as Jacqueline described, she was able to have her mind, actually, her eyes are still looking at the same objects, but she was allowing her mind to switch over to a different source for those objects, an innocent source, in fact, a beautiful source. That changes everything. Indeed. Sundari?
I have a question in my mind. You know, there's when the really awful things happen, okay, the way it helps me to think of what gift might I be giving myself, even in the worst of things, even in the really worst of things, you know, my husband's death, or you know, whatever. But all of a sudden, I was wondering if we really are on a spiral for the greatest upliftment of our soul with gifts to ourselves everywhere, no matter how awful they appear, or if that's just a useful tool to go through a doorway to acceptance and allowing. But I started to wonder, I wonder if that's really real, or am I tricking myself, and whether it even matters.
Very good. Perfect. Beautiful question. Thank you. That's really beautiful. Yes, I've investigated this also. And I was raised Catholic from a young child. And they were teaching devil and God. They were teaching that there was a down where you could get stuck forever, and an up where you could earn your way into happiness forever. And you get a harp with your name on it, and you could just sit on a cloud and pluck it as long as you want, if you did everything right. And, you know, I had trouble reconciling all that, Sundari, coming up. And so I started a spiritual journey. As soon as I learned that there was a choice other than Catholic and what they were teaching, I found out that there was this spirit inside me that was hungry for love and truth. And it wasn't accepting all of these words that were the Vatican was preaching. And so in all my endeavors and all my books and all my teaching and learning and meditations and all of my awareness that has occurred to me along the way, I have discovered, and this book supports without a doubt, that there is only one power. And it does this. The Course says this in a short sentence. Here it is. I'll just tell you. It says, God, whatever God is, gives and only gives, period. Complete sum and summation of what's going on, and an explanation of why things are continuing to grow. It also says in lesson 163 or so, somewhere in there, that all things are for your good. And you have closed part of your ability to see where you can't recognize that all things are for your good. But absolutely, even the roller coaster where it's bumpy and it suddenly makes a turn, that's kind of rough on the body, it's a little jolting. That was designed to make the people who like it happy. Even though it's a sharp turn that you wouldn't design for everybody. All things are for your good. Short sentence, but man, you can take that to the bank. And also, it of course describes elsewhere that if the way the ego's playing it, you're a victim and you have an enemy that has more power than you, and the enemy is, you'd have to call God. That's the way the ego's playing it. But the Course says, isn't that kind of silly? I mean, if God was your enemy, you would not have any hope or chance. You think you're hiding? It's silly. It's silly. The other side then explains everything is for your good. You know, you are patiently awaited by the power that you seek. Yeah, Sundari.
One little thing. I was at a spiritual singles group at Spirit Rock, and the guy said, break up into groups of six and share your best and worst experience. And bizarrely, for the six of us in my group, not the other groups, for each of us individually, our worst experience and our best experience were the same experience. It was so mind-boggling to me that you could find six people at the same time in the world that would align that way.
Those are honest people. How many times have you made it through a horrible situation, look back and say, you know what? It changed my life, but for the good. That's the most common story I hear. Very, very common. People surprised how well things do. It's a sudden adjustment. Yeah. Wouldn't wish it on anybody. And yet, what came out of it was so good. Yeah, you bet. Okay, Tim, when you get there, we're going to page 449, paragraph 7. And I got your mute. If you would, read that paragraph for us.
The Holy Spirit can give you faith in loneliness.
Whoops, say that again. Try that again.
Yeah.
Right. I hope that was a misprint only in your book.
The book of my mind. I have a mind like a steel trap, and I've been caught in it for years. The Holy Spirit can give you faith in holiness and vision to see it easily enough. But you have not left open and unoccupied the altar where the gifts belong. Where they should be, you have set up your idols to something else. This other, open quote, will, unquote, which seems to tell you what must happen, you give reality. And what would show you otherwise must therefore seem unreal. All that is asked of you is to make room for truth. You are not asked to make or do what lies beyond your understanding. All you are asked to do is let it in, only to stop your interference with what will happen of itself, simply to recognize again the presence of what you thought you gave away.
Beautiful. Thank you, Tim.
There's a wonderful Japanese Zen story about a learned scholar who comes to see a true Zen master, and the Zen master sets out two teacups and, as is the custom, greets his guest, and he pours the hot tea into the guest's cup, and then when it's full, he just keeps pouring, and the guy with the cup says, "Stop! It's over full. No more will go in." And the Zen master says, "This is like you. You are over full. There is no space for what I have to teach you to fit in." And that's a classic story. That's a, you know. So I'll always keep that one on my shelf.
Yes, yes.
Classic. Make sure I'm teachable.
Yeah. You know, the Bible says it and the Course says it as well. And yes, ye be as little children. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
There it is.
Same story.
Yeah.
Little child knows that they don't know. They say, "Why is the sky blue?" Why? My sister asked my dad once, "Dad, how thick is a shadow?" The one thing he could not answer. The beauty of a child with the not knowing, that's trainable and interested in learning and asking any question whatsoever with the joy of learning. Yes, may we all be as little children. You bet. Beautiful. Look at this paragraph. The Holy Spirit, which we've been rehearsing, is part of your mind that's still connected to the truth, therefore knows how to translate whatever you're seeing back to truth. Very personally, in your own words that you know, not some foreign language, not through some secret hidden message. No, your gut has access to your gut, can reinterpret whatever it is you're thinking and feeling. This is how wonderful and full access the Holy Spirit has to you, because it's part of your mind. The Holy Spirit can give you faith in holiness and vision to see, or we're talking about before, you know, which is this essentially the truth, your own freedom. But you have not left open and unoccupied the altar where the gifts belong. What altar is Jesus suddenly talking about? What altar could he be talking about? And I'll tell you, the Course says it in one paragraph better than I possibly could. Quick, hold your finger here and turn to workbook page 410. We'll just read one paragraph there that I think is the quickest, pithiest way to describe what the altar word means in A Course in Miracles. Because when we get to our next page that I wanted to share with Sundari after her beautiful share with all of us, you might need to know about what do we mean by altar. Look at lesson 236. And Sundari, I'm going to unmute you. I got it. And would you please read with all the authority you can muster lesson 236?
Lesson 236. I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. I have a kingdom I must rule. At times, it does not seem I am its king at all. It seems to triumph over me and tell me what to think and what to do and feel. And yet, it has been given me to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve.
Say that sentence again.
My mind can only serve.
Let's just stop for a moment. Let those words soak in. He's asking you to become aware that your mind can only serve.
So it's your will that depends on whether you listen to the holy part of your mind and the egoic part of your mind?
Your will is required, yes, to choose light versus dark. That is correct.
I had a question a little while ago that I'll ask now. I had this idea that I don't know will work, but we're talking about everything in our life is leading us back to holiness, if we can view it that way. So if I say, if something negative happens, I can say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be learning from today. I wonder what it is, and let it sink for a while, and maybe the answer will come to me. Like my story about feeling love all through me, what came to me after that was, if once in a while I realize that I don't control things, but my holiness does. I, meaning the one that chooses the ego all the time, maybe I'm going to get a feeling that I can send love out like I want to all the time. Because that's all I really want to do is be loving.
It's all, if it, and this is a somewhat quote from the Course, it's a, I don't have the words quite memorized, but you'll understand. It's like 90% the exact words. When you seek only love, you will see only love.
Mm-hmm. And I'm beginning to have that happen.
Good.
And it's like so many people are showing up that are acting like they love me, and I can't even believe it.
Nice. They can't help themselves because they feel safe to love you.
I guess so.
When you seek only love, you will see only love. And that's what Jacqueline's describing. That's the journey she's taking. Well, I want her to completely go down that road and remember her highest moments of freedom. And then when life turns the other way and the ego tries to snatch it away from her, she goes back to that moment. She goes, calls on a miracle in that moment and says, well, show me how it applies here because I know it does. And that will be enough if all she's seeking is that freedom for her to say, I get it. This too is free. And her heart will not see the darkness. It will see the light that surrounds what looked like darkness. Absolutely, absolutely. Good, good, good. Barbara.
I am getting really good. I'm not just congratulating myself, but what I'm saying is that with practice, if I'm, because I practice, sit and practice in the morning, this process has really transformed my daily experience. the divorce is really not a problem at this point, which is just blowing me away. I've got a pretty good handle on conscious grievances. I recognize them, and I choose and decide how I'm going to deal with them. What I don't have a handle on is the intrusion of the ego in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And it is still attacking.
Yep.
And I wake up in fear, but because I'm practicing daily and deeply, even when I wake up and I'm fearful, I can say, I give this fear to the Holy Spirit.
There you go. You and, have an option.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean it dissolves the fear right away. But my intention is to recognize that it's the ego.
I would like everybody to think about what Barbara just said and the story she related. And as you are coming out of completely identifying with a body, your reference point is being in a body. So she said in the middle of the night when she's sleeping, you pictured that. You pictured either her or you sleeping. And then as you woke up with fear, you pictured that. Everybody did that. All thoughts are images that you have made, including your awakening thoughts. But I would like everybody to please take note that as you go along and when you have waking moments where you call on the Holy Spirit, like she turned it over, says, I give this fear to the Holy Spirit. I let go of following this fear, and I let God or Holy Spirit take it from me. You deal with it, Holy Spirit. Absolutely, Barbara.
It's that space. It's giving that space.
Yes.
On my altar.
Making
or
room.
Whatever.
Absolutely. Ruling your mind.
Right.
You're ruling your kingdom, which you alone must rule. Sundari is reading for us now. You have to actually rule it. If you didn't, then your habits of fear could keep you up all night and make you say and do things that you would rather not.
Right.
So you really do have to exercise your will for lightness of being, because your habits for darkness of being, your ego, has been instilled and running for many decades. Mm-hmm. And so we're reversing that, and we're waking up sooner than later, because now that's more fun. Now that's more interesting. In fact, we found access to light when we cracked that door open, and it's way brighter than anything else that the world had to offer. So you bet. Now, I would like everybody to take a note, because the dark times are coming for all of us. Each of us is still living in a dream of bodies, and there will be more loss to come amidst the gains that will come. But you will, as a Course in Miracles student, you will choose the light. You will go get your book. You will go read maybe like page 28 and try to just straighten your mind out. It will take time. It will take time. It will take time for you to wash out the fear. Why? Because you're still identifying with a body. There's adrenaline in your body when you wake up in fear. Or when your car skids sideways and you miss the child who was running after the ball, but everything's okay, you still feel a little on edge, don't you? Well, that's because you're so identified with a body, a little adrenaline, norepinephrine is swimming around your bloodstream, and depends on how much you shot in there with your fear thought, that your body will eliminate like it does every other drug. It's simple physiology, but you can now step out of it. Even though you feel uncomfortable with the fear, you no longer identify with it. You don't follow it. You don't follow it. You don't follow it. And it just dissipates on its own. And then for me and for everybody else I've had this discussion with, the curve of the fear response first flattens a little bit, and then it gets shorter. And there's less adrenaline getting shot into my bloodstream year after year after year as I get better and better of ruling my mind. And now it's really hard to get me to actually feel threatened in any circumstance. I still have the thoughts. I'm not you know, somehow not cognizant of dangerous things or, you know, fearful. But I don't suffer from it. And so, Sundari, please continue.
Today, I give its service, that's my mind service, to the Holy Spirit to employ as he sees fit. I thus direct my mind, which I alone can rule. And thus I set it free to do the will of God.
And that's fine right there. That's the focus of what we want to see on this page. This is your altar. You will experience what you put on your altar. You will experience what you use your mind for. Your mind can only serve. Your will, turns out, what you choose to use it for, you will get. I'm telling you something you've experienced your entire life every day. But maybe you haven't looked at it from this perspective. You will live your next thought. Period. End of statement. So learn now to rule the kingdom of your mind. Start seeking for light and love. And your Holy Spirit and angels, the Course says angels, 12 episodes in A Course in Miracles, 12 places where it talks about angels. Essentially, that's what it means, is that the power of light, the power of understanding, that's the power of heaven, is available all the time. God's voice speaks to me all through the day, but I don't hear it all through the day. One of the lessons. So, yes, Luann.
The last line reminded me of what Tim was saying about why. And it was when he was talking, I would say my reason for why I want to do this is because I want to feel free. And I haven't been able to feel free without this class and this book before. Before, I've always felt tied to my role or tied on all the responsibilities I have.
You know, Luann, I had the same experience. Of Course in Miracles came along. Somehow, this book and the way it's worded, page after page, gave me permission to be free. Mm-hmm. Even though I had all sorts of reasons why I would not be free. Mm-hmm. This book and these studies has shown me light in my life. It has never gone away.
Yeah, because I want to be free to only love. That's what I want. And that requires me giving up all this other stuff, including thinking I can change others or whatever.
It starts with want. It starts with want, Luann. And then when you understand that you have a kingdom that you must rule and you will live your next thought, eventually the want goes away and the will arrives.
Yeah.
And your self-empowerment returns. You're no longer a victim. And you start to live your next thought and think, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Do that again. The easiest way to experience this, by the way, is not a doing, but an undoing.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest way to experience what we're talking about is not a doing, and it's an undoing. And what's the easiest way to undo? To go still, to meditate on nothing. Just open your mind and listen. Just for a second. Don't try to do this for an hour and a half of nothing. You will just experience really a lot of nothing, because what you're really doing is stilling your ego. You're undoing. And then you'll find all sorts of light and life come in instantly that was already there. Let's go see where it talks about that. Yeah, Barbara. Everybody, while Barbara's talking, everybody turn to page 380. Eight.
In the text or the what?
In the text.
What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say, I agree about the meditation because I have been meditating for a really long time. But the real undoing comes with doing these lessons. What?
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's
lessons,
good.
Believe me, and if you do them in exactly the way the book says to do them, and you believe that you don't have to get it or don't have to believe it, just do it. It is structured to systematically undo the egoic mind. And it's faster than sitting in meditation. And I love meditation. I love silence. I love sitting in silent meditation. But to get to that grievance thing and undoing the part of our minds that we're so unhappy with because they keep us in prison, the lessons will. And I'm only on like lesson 86 or something. I'm not speeding through them. I'm taking more than one day often for a lesson. But it's undoing it. It is undoing it.
So
I know it is.
Isn't it intelligent? This is an amazing workbook. It is an amazing tool that's designed specifically for this ego adventure.
It is. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. I agree. Sundari.
Don't you think it's even more than brilliant? Don't you think it's more like Jesus knows the answers, and so he just writes down what he knows?
It's kind of like he's done it before, and he left us notes on what he did.
Yeah.
It's kind of like he, Jesus, has become our healed mind. And because he's our own healed mind, wrote it in a way that we could actually use.
Exactly.
It's more than brilliant. It's personal.
Yeah.
This book knows more about me than I know about me. Obviously.
Totally agree.
Sundari.
Well, I just feel like dittoing Barbara. I gave this book to both my children, and I said, forget text. Just do the lessons. It took me about, 3 years to or longer to start the lessons. And I thought, wow, this would have been so much faster just to go through the lessons.
That works. For somebody who's got discipline of mind, has done Buddhism, for example, and you have meditation practice, you can jump into the lessons. But if you're a real newbie, they're fighting words often. They're asking a bit much.
And I'm reading the text and doing the lessons.
You find they kind of work together as you go along?
They definitely.
Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah, it's totally crazy.
It's crazy, yeah.
Inspired.
Yes, you know the term holographic?
Mm-hmm.
Where any one aspect of the hologram, if you look closely, it contains the whole picture. Every little piece has in a crystal way, the whole picture. Same with A Course in Miracles. It's amazing.
For me, the holographic aspect of it is the text, but not the lessons. Hmm. And I can take any one sentence in the text, and if I understand one sentence, I understand it contains the whole of the 1,300 pages. Hmm. And doesn't matter what sentence you figure out.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. And I must put in a word for your audio, Andrew. I've never done that before, but I would always play in the car your audio of the course.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't get a sentence, and I'd go back and forth and back and forth on my audio until I got that sentence before I let myself go to the next.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Yeah, I did a recording of A Course in Miracles. Painstakingly, it took me 14 years to record the whole thing in the way, I also had to delete recordings and go back. No, that's not right. And also earn a living. And so, but I eventually got it all recorded with a little bit of music and I used it. I did it so I could have it. So I could do what you did and I could play over and over the sections and sentences until I felt really comfortable. It's just a wonderful thing to do. Yeah.
You're on my cell.
Glad to be there. Close to your heart, I hope. Okay. Look at, now can we, how are we doing on time? Wow, this went so fast. But nonetheless, we had the perfect paragraph. They have just enough time not to read. Okay. This is on page 388. We're going to have to skip to paragraph 14. There's, 13 has got a crazy setup in that. Let's just jump into 14 so you can see this in your book. And so, Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 14? And it's just talking about everything we've been discussing tonight. It's talking about making room. How do you make room? Is there support in this book for you to not bring your ego into your decision making? What? But that's me. No, come on. There is a part of your mind still connected to the truth. How do I access it? Can I even access it? Well, yes. I mean, spoiler alert. That's what we're doing here. Is we're waking up your spiritual, but yeah, we're waking up your holy, healed mind. Deborah, talk to us. Read us number 14.
What page?
This is page 388 in the text. 388 in the text, and it's paragraph 14.
It is possible because you want it. The sudden expansion of awareness that takes place with your desire for it is the irresistible appeal the holy instant holds. It calls to you to be yourself within its safe embrace. There are the laws of limit lifted for you to welcome you to openness of mind and freedom. Come to this place of refuge where you can be yourself in peace, not through destruction, not through a breaking out, but merely by a quiet melting in. For peace will join you there simply because you have been willing to let go the limits you have placed upon love and joined it where it is and where it led you in answer to its gentle call to be at peace.
Yes. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read the exact same paragraph back to Deborah so she can enjoy that?
Okay. It is possible because you want it. The sudden expansion of awareness that takes place with your desire for it.
By the way, I'm going to have you restart, Jacqueline. I want everybody to look at that first sentence a little more carefully. That you could be underlined and should be. After what we just read, there is a kingdom that I must rule. Well, here's why. This peace is possible. Please, Jacqueline, start again.
It is possible because you want it. Mm-hmm. The sudden expansion of awareness that takes place with your desire for it is the irresistible appeal the holy instant holds. It calls to you to be yourself within its safe embrace. There are the laws of limit lifted for you to welcome you to openness of mind and freedom. Come to this place of refuge where you can be yourself in peace, not through destruction, not through a breaking out, but merely by a quiet melting in. For peace will join you there simply because you have been willing to let go the limits you have placed upon love and joined it where it is and where it led you in answer to its gentle call to be at peace.
In answer to its gentle call to be at peace. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me.
Thank you. Thank
that was on page 388, paragraph 14, Julie. Very good. That's just another one of the places where it gives you, it's the thing that gives me authority, with authority, gives me permission to actually go to peace.
And only by a quiet melting in.
Quiet melting in.
And that's the effort. You just melt into it. And that is so beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome. Okay, everybody, I'm going to open up some breakout rooms so you can say goodbye individually if you want. And I'm still learning how to do this, so here we go.